Hello, today's sermon is we will go through chapter 34 to 36. The title of this today's sermon is The People Who Follow the Will of God. We continue to look at Jacob's journey since he got called from God, followed by his ancestors, Isaac and Abraham. Last we saw Jacob's journey from Haran to Canaan. Jacob's various levels of going to God's way were hitting the ground, sort of a very low level. Unfortunately, it didn't change the chapters that we go through today. But as Jacob goes to a place where God asked to go and the promise to give to them, Jacob and his ancestors, Isaac and Abraham, God will help him and turn him over to Canaan. Even though Jacob didn't know God's will properly, he didn't know what to do. The problem of Uncle Laban, who seemed like a lifelong liar, was resolved by the work of God, not by Jacob's capability. So he needed a brother-in-law who pushed him to kill him. So Jacob is still not fully devoted to establishing to bring the kingdom of God, God has called, even though God constantly been calling him, and cannot get out from his self-centered life. Of the land of Canaan that I saw in the Sukkot, the place Jacob decided to settle since he left Haran and came to Canaan, the first place he decided to settle, which he thought was safe, and he went to a place called Shechem after that, which he thought it was the most livable in the land of Canaan. And the Jacob called Elohe Israel, in the sense of the God of Israel, which means, as we went through last week, the God I have won. And the Israel means, again, the man who struggled with God. Or in Jacob's perspective, he interprets that the God I have won. And built his own selfish altar and worshiped God according to his own thoughts and his own will. But the land of Shechem was the place where his grandfather Abraham did not settle there, because Canaanites lived there at that time, since then, until Jacob's life, the time period. It is the land of Canaan that God has brought Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants. But it's not the purpose of being in the land, the staying and being with the Canaanites. It wasn't certainly the call from God. But because it was the purpose of bringing and establishing the kingdom of God around the land of Canaan, and Abraham, Isaac did properly. Although Jacob had to dwell in the land of Canaan, he never lived without mixing. Abraham and Isaac, although they had to dwell in the land of Canaan, they never lived without, they lived with mixing with the Canaanites and their culture and the custom. But it is a place and culture that cannot be mixed with them. And although they have been forced to live in a space together, according to God's call, in an area called the land of Canaan, the promised land. In contrast, Jacob was like Lot going to Sodom and Gomorrah, which looked like the Garden of Eden in his sight. So he moved to Jacob, similar as what Lot did against Abraham. Jacob moved to Shechem, the land of Canaan, because Jacob thought it looks good place to live. It's quite a livable area. So Jacob took care of there. So in order to properly look at the characters of patriarchs, including Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his son Joseph, etc., if the Israel in Genesis, we shouldn't forget how God's link their life is the way how to look at them without forgetting what God's will is. So we need to look at how God's will is flowing or being established throughout their lives. So again, you know, to look at properly at the characters of the patriarchs if Israel in Israel in Genesis, we shouldn't forget how God's linked their life with the way. So we need to look at what is God's will, and how the will flew through their life and is established by them. by their obedience, or how it was tackled and blocked by their disobedience. The people of this world who fall into the secular world and die to their own will, or rejecting the reign of God, His sovereignty, the presence of God. For example, by the Babel Tower incidents, they completely denied God's presence. They decided to reach to where God is by their own capability and will. They thought they could do it. But since then, God calls the kingdom of God to live in the reign of God. We should be able to distinguish ourselves through each person and event. What's the consequence of not following or listening to His call? Or what's the consequence of obeying to God's call? So from the time God called Abraham, called him for the kingdom of God, not for the sake of Abraham's glory, to bring down God's kingdom for the sake of saving whole mankind, since our ancestors Adam and his descendants, through a north flood and Babel, Tower of Babel incidents, etc. God wanted to accomplish the reconciliation of the relationship with us. That was all about God's calling. So God chose Abraham, asked to carry God's mission and his purpose. So Abraham took the purpose of life according to God's will, and Isaac followed, despite Isaac's son, the Jacob, kept consistently living his life according to his own thoughts and self-centered way. But through the stories, it's covered in many chapters in Genesis. We really need to look at who is God, what kind of being we are living in, what's the purpose, how the people, patriarchs, they obeyed or disobeyed to God and responded to God's call. And how is the history of their life, or Israelites, and the nations around them, they flew. You need to look at this in big picture. So God clearly called Abraham and his descendants and gave a mission to inform his descendants. I refer to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. So the key to the story we are looking at is how the kingdom of God is now being extended and expanded. The Abraham responded to such a call, and then Isaac, not Ishmael, answered, but Jacob answered, but not after, but after these historical stories are continuing. But a man named Jacob, even as he went to the promised land to hear the call, he didn't know the true heart of God who called him and his ancestors, but he understood that God's calling according to his own thoughts and the greed. He tried to use God to get what he wanted. That's why he's been constantly raising the big problems and issues that he could not resolve by himself and throughout his life. Now when you look at the chapter 34 to 36, God now directs Jacob to go up to the kingdom of God. Jacob still living a self-centered life that is not firmly committed to the intention of God's calling. Even after the dramatic reconciliation with his brother, but he still had a fear, such a great fear of his brother Esau. So he crossed the Jabbok River, which he came across and went to Sukkot, where he decided to settle. Jacob was about 97 years old when he arrived to Sukkot. Joseph was 6 years old, and the Dina was 7 years old, just 1 year older than the Joseph. So Jacob's family seems to stayed in the Sukkot for years. Quite a number of years. It's hard to know the exact duration, but from Sukkot here, he was now going to Shechem to settle down, and then back to Bethel. Then Jacob moved to Hebron, where his father Isaac was. That was the pathway of Jacob since he entered into the land of Canaan. But by the time Joseph, one of the youngest sons, was sold by his brothers, we can see that Joseph was about 11 years old. Then Jacob was then 108 years old. Joseph is 17 years old. So we have to look at the period of the moving from Sukkot to Shechem in this 11 years period. So in chapter 34, judging from the fact that Dinah, the only daughter of Jacob, went to see the town of Shechem and was caught, raped by the chief of the tribe there. So Dinah, Jacob's daughter, would be at least 15 years old around that time. So we can assume that it wasn't long after he went to Shechem and settled in the context of that contents in the chapter 34 and 5. If you look like that, the time Jacob and his tribes and family stayed in this course would have been at least 7 to 8 years. So Dinah was a sister who was born directly above Joseph. The age difference between Dinah and Joseph seems to be only a year or two. So when Dinah saw the Jacob's sons, they were all out there for herders to feed their cattle and etc. To farming work. Joseph was about 14 years old. Now we can tell that he was about the middle school age nowadays. So anyway, the Jacob's grandfather Abraham also did not settle for those who are separated from the Canaanites. Just as Lot looks like Sodom and Gomorrah as the Garden of Eden, you know, to settle down and with the Canaanites there, this happened when Dinah, her only daughter, was raped by the tribe there, living there. So why did these things happen? Jacob is the person who's supposed to carry God's will, but lives nearer to the secular world. The life like Sodom and Gomorrah, also like Canaan, is close like eventually you'll see all these results. Considering the daughters of Lot who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, whether their sisters wanted it or not, they saw the culture and fashion of their friends and their social lives. They're quite naturally mixed with the evil things in Sodom and Gomorrah. So he was literally going into the culture and customs of Sodom and Gomorrah. So they thought about the terrible. They had to see it was inevitable to experience the terrible and evil things, and they might have done it. So maybe Jacob didn't intend to learn the culture of the Canaanites and Shechem. Same as the Lot, not intending to learn the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah on purpose, but they live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jacob did so in Shechem, not being trained by discipled by the value of the people of God's kingdom. It gradually stained the culture and fashion of that period that they lived there, mixed with the Canaanites. This is the scene of the lives of our people today as well, such as Sodom, Gomorrah, and Shechem. And in other words, it is easy to be caught up in secular culture and fashion, whether or not they go to church. So while I was attending church and believing in God, we have to leave your time with people who have nothing to do with God. That's what is inevitable. We can't avoid that. But if you know for certain what the value of God's people is, wherever we go, everywhere we live, we will be the object of evangelism. Most of them, do not know the value of the call, like Jacob. They often live like the daughters of Lot. Then like Jacob, like the daughters of Lot, it is easily tainted in the way the world preaches rather than the judgment and righteousness of faith that God's word gives at the moment of crisis and their hard circumstances. So above all, the saints, the believers who have to live in the secular world of this culture, in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. There is a need, a pressing need for a community that is encouraged and praised to live according to the value of God's word. We need to belong to, we need to be part of it, the community, the spiritual family, to get encouraged to live according to the heavenly values. So until today, we really go to the eternal kingdom of God, because in this world, like Canaan, they are the ones who bring the kingdom of God, created through the God's reign and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. We'll more clearly recall God's calling and its meaning without forgetting it. It is really important to meet the community of faith. And the family of God can encourage living with the truth together, not by ourselves. Since Jesus came, the kingdom of God physically has been brought into where we live. And since then, the church is the family of God, the body of God, also the cell group that God dwells in it. So we need to be part of it. So all the saints and believers belong to the church, belong to the cell, to do the work of bringing the kingdom of God in where we live, and around us, which is the call, the mission God has given to us. It is the object and the purpose of the existence of believers and the saints, the church and the cell. Even though Jacob heard God's call, the return to Canaan safely, without knowing God's true will, he thought of God as a helper for what he wanted to do. To living very close to the secular world in Shechem, he did not know what it meant to himself and to his tribe and family, also his descendants, including his children now. So Jacob wasn't aware of the reason why God called his grandfather Abraham, Genesis 18 verse 19, and why he called all generations of faith. God chose Abraham because he meant to teach his children, his offspring, well, and to obey God himself, to do the right things. Today, too many believers do not know much about the purpose of God that called us. Because of not being able to meet God's heart, his cry heart through the word, like Jacob, he was sort of the Lord of his life, for himself. In this state of Jacob, obviously God wouldn't have been in charge of this mission. He couldn't be, even though God called and guided Jacob. This is the reason God called Abraham to tell his children, descendants, the truth of God, and to not cut off the generation of faith. Make it keep continuing in order to carry God's will. Now, Jacob wasn't even standing by the will of God for himself. They wouldn't have been the right the education to his children as well. So as you will see now, the life of Jacob's 12 sons, indeed, there's nothing to learn, nothing to be the role model in their lives. Unfortunately, not that we become accustomed to the religious life by believing in Jesus, also staying in the church. It's not the purpose of our life. We want to be the people who know the purpose of God's calling. Dinah was raped by the Canaanites as an example of Abraham. that Abraham lost his Sarah, his wife, temporarily to the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and also the Abimelech, king of the Philistines, who took Sarah. The alliance together to get the strength, it was of their purpose, but their own way, because they thought they were stronger than Abraham's tribe. It was so indeed. So it is the intention to stay as friends and not enemies, but try to utilize what Abraham had. So, however, it is not because of Shechem, the Jacob. It's not because of the chief or the Shechem who raped the Dinah, Jacob's daughter, who is native of the local of Canaan, the land of Canaan, who indeed had probably most likely had the sovereignty, the power control of the region. At first he raped Dinah first, and so the Jacob couldn't avoid either the alliance with them or the war against them. So the, either way they would go, some kind of relationship between these two parties would be inevitable. So whether it was going to go to war or no, they're going to have the alliance, the relationship was going to flow. So in the eyes of Shechem, the chief of the Shechem who raped Dinah, the fact that they raped Dinah means their power, strength over Jacob's tribe. It's because they knew that a war or alliance was beneficial, either of them was would be beneficial to them. But Jacob didn't know what to do. So Shechem did the job, raped Dinah, still it's like the proposing as if he wanted to resolve things peacefully. Now I raped, what about we get married, have a political marriage and make an alliance. The chief of Shechem did not send the Dinah, the daughter of the Jacob's only daughter, only daughter, they sent Jacob to ask her to get married. So Jacob knew not what to do. He didn't know what to do. So when Jacob was so embarrassed and he couldn't do anything, the sons and daughters who heard this terrible news came back from the farm fields were so angry, sadness and anger. They got furious about the fact of what happened to their sister Dinah. So because Dinah was the daughter of Leah, the sons of Leah were seeking revenge. The Simeon and the second son and Levi, the third son, actually set up the plan. So they proposed to the Shechem, their tribe, if you are all circumcised, you will marry our sister. So when Shechem, the chief and his people, including his father Hamor, heard this, they told his own people that they could make their own economic things from Jacob and his tribe have. And so ended up being able to persuading their people to get circumcised. So all the men of Shechem were circumcised. The most painful day of it, which is the third day, that Simeon and Levi obviously knew that, just went in to the land of the Shechem with a sword and killed all the men. Then the other sons plundered the whole city, took away all their possessions, and took away all the women and children. And this was the time they killed each other, they trampled, and take away. It was a generation that survived if they had power. So even in the Bible, there's a law saying the eye to eye and the teeth to teeth. I'm referring to the Bible's law clearly. I say it is quite cruel and barbaric, but in fact, when you look at the history at that time, it can be seen there's no compassion and the equitable law. So what God said is actually, it makes sense at that time. There's a people revenge. Needs to be, it couldn't happen. So people's revenge is not about, not just about paying back as much as they could. at least most of the history, they knock off the person's neck if they got hit by some person. So when a tribe tramples, they completely destroy another tribe. They had to do it properly, otherwise they get revenged. So also the Jacob's sons, they acted like that, using the tool, which is circumcision, which was given to them to get separated, to be the holy sign, to be holy people, be holy nation, to get separated from the secular world. They used that as a means of completing their tribe in a secular manner. Which is indeed quite a sad story. So Jacob's sons totally dried up their seeds and destroyed their villages and the people. So Jacob's sons, early 20s or early 10s, late 10s, didn't keep the word, the value of God's word. They were obviously living along the flow of the secular world, and they just lean on their emotions and instincts lead. Now, Bible clearly said, didn't say this is right. They clearly didn't know the mission of bringing the kingdom of God there. If the priority in our relationship with God and with people around us is not taken right, you wouldn't be able to know God's will. Even though we know, you wouldn't be able to obey to it. It is all about to know that you can say that we are children of God, but you can create a horribly twisted history. We cannot take they could not take the responsibility for. That's how what happened when they destroyed the tribe of Shechem. So what is more important than the place, living in the place of Shechem, the secular world, the place where it seems to Jacob is good, quite livable city, to get mixed with the Canaanites, quite convenient to live, etc. The more important thing than that, the fact they live there, is Jacob's attitude towards Canaanites, the land of Canaan. Jacob was concerned to get mixed with them and their culture. He and his tribe and family, sons, all of them, they didn't concern to get mixed with their culture and their customs. So instead of following God's way of life as a holy nation, holy tribe, they decided to compromise, to get mixed with them, because they thought that's good things to do. That was their attitude. When they chose to live in Shechem. If Jacob and his sons had been devoted to God's mission, even though they lived in the land of Shechem, the secular world, the work of bringing the kingdom of God would have been established in that area. If that was so, it wouldn't be the worst case scenario. Again, the meaning of circumcision is a confession of faith that acknowledges the living God, to recall and remember what God has done to them, how God drove out several million people of Israelites from Egypt when they were about to die and got dried up by Egyptians. How God gratefully, amazingly led them to listen to God's word and carry his mission and brought into Mount Sinai. Even the sons of Jacob did not know the reasons of living in this land from Father Jacob. The reason why, what is the mission God called them? As circumcised as the method of the mother, the precious holy tools of circumcision, they would be certainly the very sad things in God's eyes view. Because Jacob and his family were immigrants to the land of Haran, also to the land of Canaan. But actually, the immigrants came from the land of Haran. Without God's protection, they couldn't defend themselves. They didn't have the power, because all the local people who are settled there for a long time, they wouldn't have allowed them, Israelites, to settle in their land. So therefore, Jacob and his sons, they would know that they must be cruel. Abraham and Isaac, also they lived with such a fear, because they didn't have much power when they lived in the land of Canaan. In contrast to Jacob, Abraham and Isaac, but they knew the meaning of God's calling. They had been led by the help and guidance of God, because they lived according to the mission given to them from God, with a firm belief in God. Again, Jacob didn't know the true meaning of God's calling given to him until he came to Shechem here, and he went out the way he wanted and the thought of God. It's like a pagan god or idol he hired. He wanted to get something out of God. So when I read this story, I got really grateful. It is a really grateful God. Even though Jacob was such a self-centered and deprived person, and caught in his own trap. Despite the fact that he created such many issues that he couldn't resolve, but God did resolve for him. He didn't know what to do to get out of that twisted thread, but God did so. God provided a solution. God tells the way of life, Jacob, and to anyone, including us. So, if you have any twisted thread in your life, please listen to God's voice and pray for those who can hear the voice of God, directly speaking to them. In this way, if Jacob keeps breaking his relationship with God, even in the midst of and the middle of his crisis and the troubles, so although the level of Jacob's faith was so poor and low, but he didn't give up the faith in God. He eventually went to a place called to go, where God called to go, and did not live there. We can see that in Jacob's mind, in Jacob's life, there was his mind to rearrange, to get retuned, to get realigned to the direction of God. So from Jacob's story, we can learn, even though we got distracted, we got astray, we can come back. We can 100% rely on God. He will provide the solution, even though that might not in line with our own logical thinking and the reasoning. So continuing to look at the chapter 35, God told Jacob so he could not resolve his problems and settle righteous life. God proactively set out the righteous life for Jacob. Then Jacob eventually heard God's voice. He was going to Bethel, leaving Shechem and going to Bethel, which was the God's calling. When God called him to get back to the land of Canaan, the place God wanted him to settle wasn't Shechem or Sukkoth. It was a place called Bethel. So before he got to reach it to the place, Jacob was filled with selfish thoughts. Ended up having terrible events, the sequence of consecutive events that he couldn't really resolve by himself. Till then, he still thought of God's calling on his own way. Only then, afterwards, will he listen to what God wants to say. Jacob lived in a selfish way, and not for the sake of God's kingdom, but for his own good. But eventually, when he was faced with the imminent crisis that he couldn't resolve by himself, he got to listen to why God called himself. He realized for how long God has been waiting for him. So Jacob decided to go to Bethel according to God's will. and destroyed all the foreign gods and idols, the statues of pagan gods that were possessed and carried by all who are with Jacob in his tribe. He decided not to have the two hearts, but only a soul heart for God and the full worship service before God, who rescued him, his ancestors, and his descendants as well. Every time of crisis, and he realized in those among those crises, God that provided him a way to escape. The reason for the twisted and complicated life appeared he faced with also appears in our life. It's not following the guidance of God, but like Jacob, who has adapted the will of God according to his own thinking, also to us according to our own thinking, our own logical thoughts and reasoning. And he has lived as he wished. Also we've been living as we wish. If our life is so tangled and cannot be resolved, we want to look back on our lives and look back on what God has said to us. If you want to hear, listen to God's voice properly, you must lay down, put down our expectations and greeds, our desires. If our heart is full of our own expectations and desires and greed, we cannot listen to God's voice. We cannot see God's will. So the scene of this, our life is not a place where we live. It's not a place for our survival and prosperity, like what Jacob did. So please do not forget, we are sent. Are sent here where we live in order to know the kingdom of God, in order to know who God is, make him known to where we live, so we can bring the kingdom of God here. We will eventually have to do the same thing we did from the past and live with the same people. It may not get changed before and after salvation, before and after our commitment. But do not forget the reason for life and the purpose of all beings living like God's holy people. So Jacob eventually went through a great deal at Shechem and moved to Bethel as he ran away from it. So a closer look at the verse 9, chapter 35 there, so it clearly says that Jacob left Paddan Aram, which is Haran, and God comes to Jacob again and blessed him when Jacob eventually arrived at Bethel, not the previous places that he settled for many years. The Bible clearly says that it's not the time Jacob had already left Haran and returned to the land of Canaan according to God's call, but lived in the land of Shechem, as of course, where he wanted to live. It is only when Jacob arrived at Bethel where God's call according to God's call and what God promised. Till then, he didn't get acknowledged to arrive in the promised land. When Jacob arrived at the Bethel, God acknowledged it. Jacob has left Haran and came to the land of promised land in Canaan. And God said, Jacob, you will be blessed. But how will this blessing be received? Huh? It is a blessing for us to come to us when we live according to guidance of God, under his protection, according to the value of God's word and heaven value. That's the blessing. Jacob began to realize and turn around in a crisis he had. He couldn't resolve through his big mistakes. God is now saying that he blesses Jacob in his life. When Jacob committed to begin again to walk in the way of God's calling under his guidance, It's not blessed to be in the church. It's not blessed to devote religious devotion and dignity. Wherever we are, blessing comes when we begin again to walk along the path that God's word guides us as per God's calling, and we know the mission given to us through God's calling. Jacob lived in Sukkoth and Shechem. In fact, he lived locally in the Canaan border. Even though it happened in the place where God said to go, do not forget God didn't see Jacob returning to the word of God. But Bethel, when he came back to where he had an appointment with God. When Jacob eventually lived like a people of the kingdom of God, realized and also knows the truth that stands in the way of leading the God's word. It's only then God acknowledges that Jacob has left Haran and returned to the promised land. It is applicable to us. We are also now mostly out of the Haran, where God told to leave, which may be applicable like the world or Egypt in Abraham's context. The secular world in our context as well. However, it is doubtful whether we are living in a lifestyle that is worthy of recognition by God. We are not sure whether God will acknowledge us or recognize what we've been doing. Jesus opened the door to the church from Haran in Jacob's context. Jesus opened the door for us to come to the church, to be with the God's presence. Jacob couldn't discern the will of God with his, throughout his life. He had a high expectation according to his own thoughts. It is the same as that of the church where we are dwelling. Being in the church, coming to church on a weekly basis is not the priority. Of course, it's necessary to come, but it's not the end. It's not the final goal. But by coming to the church and listening to the sermon, we need to realize what God wants us to do. Using our free will, we need to obey and decide, commit ourselves to bring the kingdom of God, to respond to God's calling. Again, in Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, I now buy the burnt offering of the ram, the fat of the fatted animal. Now I hate the blood of bullocks and the lambs and the goats. If you come to appear before me, have you demanded I will only step, you will only step on my court. So do not just go to church and talk to people, but you have to meet God's heart and to be born again. I hope you will be living in the life of as a saints and believers who are called to bring the kingdom of God in where we live. So after Jacob finally arrived at Bethel, the place of the promised land by God, where God asked Jacob to go, God told Jacob to go to the next step. And the verse 10, we are no longer Jacob, but Israel. God said again. The meaning of what he said, on the Jabbok River initially was totally different meaning here in Bethel. God even didn't tell Jacob about God, his own name, the El Shaddai, God Almighty. God called himself with this name to Jacob, but he didn't do it until Jacob arrived at Bethel. You know the meaning of Israelites, Israel, given to Jacob as a new name. Initially, it was given in Jabbok River. It was a meaning, the one who struggles with God, according to, again, the Jacob's eyes, as I mentioned earlier, is I'm the one who wants God. In God's point of view, he's like the one who doesn't, I never listen to my word. That's kind of meaning. But now here in the second instance, here when Jacob arrived in Bethel, God called him as Israel, not Jacob. Now it has a totally different meaning. When Jacob knew the truth, true purpose of the call to Abraham, Isaac, and himself, God himself calls him his own name, God Almighty, El Shaddai. As if God called Abraham. It's the dream of God who brings the kingdom of God in where the mankind is. The same name of Israel no longer forgets the essence of the selfish past. It was a blessed name to live and to remember God for eternity. It is like the circumcision covenant God made with Abraham, that Israel is given to Jacob and his descendants and his tribe. God wants to make Jacob's stubbornness work for the glory of God. He totally turned into his glory. When Jacob's stubbornness was used for self-gratification and a profit, it was totally out of, it went to the pear shape. That stubbornness will change to keep God's mission and keep the promise. Then it is life, it is living a life of missionary who builds up a truly wonderful kingdom of God. I also have such an angry, stubborn character. We may have that as well, like Jacob. So I really pray you will be used in the holy work of renewing, establishing, and bringing the kingdom of God according to God's will throughout your life. So after the Jacob went to the Ephrath, it is afterwards known as Bethlehem, where King David, and also Jesus were born. And where Rachel was pregnant, was born Jacob's brother, his name is Benjamin. Rachel bore Benjamin, the Jacob's youngest son, and died there in Bethlehem. When Jacob buried Rachel and built up the tents there in the Bethlehem, the Reuben, the eldest, the first son, slept with Rachel's the servant. It's also Reuben, his father's, one of his mother's. So he was guilty of sleeping with Bilhah, the Rachel's servant, essentially his stepmother, the third mother of Dan and Dan, Naphtali, two sons of Jacob. The Jacob about getting the four women, four wives, not a single wife in marriage. God did not, God, or the Bible did not tell any story about his marriage life with four wives. But if you think, if you look at the story from the beginning of the Bible very well, thoroughly, it was not the will of God. I'm not sure if it was possible to get both sisters to make them as Jacob's wives at that time, Jacob's time, from his uncle Laban. I'm not sure whether it was a common culture, but when you look at the whole flow of the Bible, we can see that God did not tolerate it, but always wants the monogamy, a single man, a single husband, and a single wife. The greatest evidence of monogamy is that the first man, Adam, was given Eve as a woman, his wife. After Adam, the monogamy broke out first in the descendants of the Lamech, descendant of the Cain. The result of a fallen life is a polygamy. It is a result of our sin. Some polygamy is not the will of God, and all of it. Nevertheless, Jacob, even if there was any reasonable excuse, because of getting four wives at the end, he had to see the family was quite complicated and twisted. Including this instance, his first son had to sleep with one of his wives. Also, his favorite son, Joseph, was sold by the other brothers. There are things his son is defiling his father's bed. Also, there will be a time in the future that brothers are jealous of a particular favorite one, beloved by their father. A hatred, they try to kill and sell as a slave. The father, Jacob, also his children too, they continue to make the problems and issues that they couldn't resolve by themselves. So looking at these things and seeing the subsequent Bible stories, we must know the reality that we must not forget. Even though the Jacob now decided to follow, to walk through the God's will, he's constantly experiencing a terrible thing as a consequence of what he has done in the past, the wrong things he did in the past. Even though he now is living in the presence of God, and he went to where God asked him to go, the promised land, the Bethel, and to meet his new growth opportunities. But it is not the things that have been done in the past are completely gone. But he had to face with it. Whether or not Jacob was immature or deliberately committed to have four women as his wives, it is evident that Jacob himself must carry the consequences of his chosen work throughout his life. The result of Jacob's life interpreting God according to his own thoughts in the past is still pouring out distressing and painful consequences and bitter, painful and bitter consequences, even as he now lives a new life of with spiritual growth followed. So our young people should be able to earn compassion and wisdom by listening to the elders. Even though we can't understand the advice and the Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, we need to listen what the elders say. Even though we don't understand well, we need to control ourselves, our emotion. We need to be able to take the right advice. So after suffering these nasty things, Jacob went to Isaac, eventually his father. Isaac was alive until the time of Mamre, in other words, Hebron. It was not until the age of 180 that Isaac died. It will be 50 years since Jacob stole the blessing of his firstborn and flee to Haran. Here are the stories I try to sum up. Now, chapter 36 tells about the genealogy of Esau among the descendants of the Amalekites mentioned. These Amalekites continue to have a constant conflict with Israelites. Some names like Elvis and Teman also appear in the book of Job. The son of Eliphaz was Teman. In the book of Job, however, it is mentioned in the form of Elizabeth in the Teman. So Abraham and Isaac are the ancestors of faith, even if they are the same father. Three of their two children is completely, the Jacob and Esau had a completely different life they lived according to their belief, different beliefs. The story of the patriarchs of Israelites in Genesis in the world they rejected God's rule, since the world rejected God's rule through the Babel Tower instance. It is clearly said that God wants to bring back the kingdom of God here through those who can listen to God's voice and respond to God's calling. So what is the life of faith that we can learn from the characters in the story? We need to carefully look at who listened, responded to God's calling, and what happened throughout their lives. Even though the Esau was the first son through Isaac, and got promised by God to be the father of a multitude of nations, he ignored, God's calling. He decided to live against God's will. He did not care about the covenant. And even though he was blessed, eventually his descendants, the nation, disappeared in the history. The opportunity to be the subject of the covenant of God was in Esau, in his life, the eldest son, the first son of Jacob. But he was a man who was living in the face of God. But different to Jacob, the Esau was far from feeling the promised way to live and keeping the covenant. Now later, the Abraham's descendants became the controlling power, the master of the land of Canaan. And why Esau and his descendants couldn't be like that, even though his descendants had great nations? But they couldn't be the owner of the promised land. It came clear his brother Jacob and his descendants became the master of the promised land eventually. So through the story, do not forget that we are called to follow God's way, God's will. Through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, I pray that we will deepen the importance and the blessing of living accordingly, along the purpose of God's calling, as a holy people, a holy nation, to bring the kingdom of God here. Not in the way of our own stubbornness that we all have, but standing in the way of God's calling all the time, since today. Amen.